Right now, though, the baseball fan and old mole Denise Morris has these thoughts about who threw out the first pitch at the National League playoff game the other night.
Sports journalist, author, and dedicated lefty Dave Zirin has spent his career debunking the idea that sports and politics don't mix. His first book, What's My Name Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States, published in 2005, was the beginning of a long career dedicated to exposing the myths and inequities that govern professional sports. It also exposed the truth that professional athletes have always stood for something and have often ignored the shouts to, quote, shut up and play. Again, professional athletes are pushing the buttons of billionaire owners, politicians, and pundits, with recent on-field protests sparked last year by then-49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Protests intended to call attention to police violence and racism spread throughout the NFL, culminating in this year's opening weekend, where players and coaches acted in solidarity by taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem. Since Kaepernick's protests began last year, the debates in the media over nationalism and militarism in sports has exploded, many exposing the deep roots in sport, but also the myth that it has always been this way. Quote, in America, the game doesn't start until the national anthem plays. It's not a mandate, it's just a fact, as culturally ingrained as team colors and touchdown cheers. The tradition runs deep, and it's easy to forget it wasn't always this way. After World War II, the commissioner of the NFL at the time, Elmer Leyden, made a specific plea to keep the anthem as a game day tradition. The playing of the national anthem should be as much a part of every game as the kickoff, he said. We must not drop it simply because the war is over. We should never forget what it stands for. While the anthem continued to be a game day fixture, NFL players typically stayed in the locker room for it. But it wasn't until 2009 that players were mandated to be on the field for the song. That's from A.J. Willingham writing for CNN. Writing last summer in the Washington Post, columnist Kevin Blackstone looked back at the 1968 Olympics for some insight into the sacred marriage of nationalism and sport. Quote, all anyone wanted to talk about that night at the Mexico City Summer Games in 1968 was that Tommy Smith and John Carlos, black U.S. Olympic medal winning sprinters, didn't stand properly. With heads held high and hands over heart, for a rendition of the national anthem. Instead, they punctuated the dark sky with black-gloved fists and lowered their heads in shame for what roiled in America's belly, police brutality against people of color who were responding to it with rebellion. What Smith and Carlos did was exercise the audacity to disrupt a sporting event, which we have been conditioned to believe is a societal safe space, a theater of escape, a spectacle sanitized of any of our ills. Nearly half a century later, with the kickoff of this football season, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick reminded us of how absurdly we still regard sporting events and their nationalistic rituals. He sat during three playings of the national anthem. He kneeled for another. He did so, he explained effusively, because he felt uncomfortable honoring the symbol of a country that oppresses black people and people of color. And just like in 1968, it wasn't Kaepernick's message that drew so much reaction. It was his method for dissemination. For he dared to protest in the athletic arena, where we wrap sporting events in a prophylactic of patriotism used to demand political conformity and suppress discourse. For modern-day athletes of color like Smith, Carlos, and Kaepernick, and others historically marginalized by society like women and religious minorities, sport is not just fun and games. It is so much more. We were reminded of that in the early 60s when Muhammad Ali reversed the self-emasculation in particular that the black athlete had agreed to in the 1930s and 40s, and are oddly celebrated as national heroes for doing so, simply to participate. For those often disenfranchised in society, our games are the most visible space, an exalted space, a space from which most cannot turn away to voice concern. They create a space in which those who feel that they are not being heard can be heard loud and clear. Again, that's Washington Post columnist Kevin Blackistone. As a socialist and a sports fan, I find all this debate, reflection, and action very exciting. Politics is in the fabric of everything for me, so I responded with nothing but horror and disgust when I heard Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise was invited to throw out the first pitch at the Washington Nationals versus Chicago Cubs opening playoff game last Friday night, October 6th. From Dan Steinberg, also writing in the Washington Post, quote, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, who was shot and seriously wounded at a practice for the annual congressional baseball game in June, threw out the first pitch at Friday night's Nationals-Cubs playoff game. Baseball is not known for having many rock-the-boat outspoken athletes. There are some, but to date, only one player joined NFL players in solidarity by taking a knee during the anthem. So in spite of my horror, I am not surprised that the Nationals' ownership, Lerner Enterprises, would invite Scalise. After all, if you are a billionaire, Steve is on your side. Lerner is the team owner, but D.C. taxpayers paid for the stadium to be built to the tune of more than $600 million. In spite of the very warm on-field reception, many Nationals fans and D.C. citizens voiced their displeasure with the choice, given that Scalise is an extreme conservative and just prior to his invite confirmed that his experience being shot only solidified his conviction that gun control laws are bad. This on the heels of the tragic mass shooting in Las Vegas. And to top it off, Scalise, whose life was saved by an out lesbian officer, picked up where he left off by agreeing to address the Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit on October 13th in Washington, D.C. The FRC is an anti-abortion, anti-gay, conservative group and lobbying organization. Along with nationalism, heroes go with sports like mom and apple pie. I am a fan who wants to do away with heroes. Maybe not forever, but for now, in these times, when a man like Steve Scalise, who will use traditional family values to obscure his anti-worker, anti-immigrant, pro-billionaire, can be a hero. He is, in fact, a symbol of all that is crushing us fans, our friends, and our families. His biggest financial contributors are not the Family Research Council or the NRA. It's oil and gas, real estate, insurance, and health professionals. And come on, Major League Baseball players, he hates unions. I do have one thing in common with Steve Scalise. We both turned 52 this year. This has been Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name?
And that's Cheap Seats by the band Alabama, following Denise Morris's commentary about baseball, nationalism, and racism.